Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. Gospel of John, chapter number 1. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. And I want to read about 6 verses here. We'll read the first 5 verses, and we'll skip down and read one other verse. Gospel of John 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Down in verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We live in a time when folks spend a lot of money, time, and effort researching into their past. Companies such as Ancestry.com and Genealogy.com were some of the first to make money off of people's desire to know a little bit more about where they came from. Wanted to look in their family tree and understand things better. And now in our day, they have DNA tests. You can get your DNA run and they can tell you what your makeup is and tell you a whole lot of things and supposedly tell you a lot about your family's heritage. Some have done such searches to find out that they had someone famous in their past. You know, I've seen people say, "Well, I found out I have George Washington as was my great, 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 great." And, you know, they'll go back and look into that. While others have found out that they're somebody infamous in their past. You know, some things you just don't want to know. At least I don't care to know. Amen. I saw in the news just recently, on our local news, where there was a man that found out he had a half-brother that he didn't know about. Had a half-brother. And he's just now finding out, they're both of them probably about my age now. And just now finding out about each other. But I personally don't want to know. I don't think I want to know. But a lot of folks are curious and do want to know. But back in Jesus' day, there was a great controversy about who Jesus was then. And can I tell you that the controversy still rages today? Is Jesus the Son of God, or was He just the Son of Man? Or was He both as He claimed? But listen, the controversy began even before Jesus was ever made flesh, as verse number 14 says, that we know that the Word is speaking of Jesus because it tells us the Word was made flesh. It's pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophets spoke and wrote of what the Lord told them to, of the promised Messiah that was to come. Over 100 prophecies that relate to the Lord Jesus Christ's first coming that He fulfilled in His first coming. Think about that. That's a lot. That is one of the things that points to that Jesus was who He said He was, and it also points to the authenticity of Scripture. Because these were different writers that predicted these things about the Messiah, and they were all fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the claims about Him, many found hard to believe, especially the part where it was prophesied that He would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." And that word Emmanuel means God with us. So it speaks to His deity. Speaks to His deity. And Him being born of a virgin speaks to His humanity. So He is both. There were those such as the Pharisees who had trouble putting the two ideas together that Jesus is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. And that's why Jesus said to them, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." And He was talking about the Old Testament Scriptures because that's all the Scriptures there were at the time. You know, some people say, well, I like the New Testament better than the Old Testament because the New Testament's all about Jesus. Well, listen, Old Testament's all about Him too. It's about Him being predicted that He was going to be coming. There's plenty of types and pictures of Jesus all throughout the Old Testament. Scripture shows us, in fact, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who was sent to be born as the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. Okay? We'll say that one more time. Scripture shows that, in fact, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who was sent to be born as the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. We hear a lot about genealogy in our days, and Jesus has both a human genealogy and a heavenly genealogy. And I'm not going to get into the human genealogy today. If you want to look at it, it's in Matthew 1 and Luke 3. There's a list of all the begats. There's a lot of rich stuff in there about His humanity. We'll not concern ourselves with those genealogies. But today, I want us to look here in John chapter number 1. We see Jesus' true heavenly genealogy. We find out that Jesus came from heaven, where He previously existed as the Word. He was the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Why is He called the Word? Well, think about the purpose of words. Why do we use words? Words express thoughts or actions or objects or an idea. If we want to understand someone better, we want to get to know them better, we talk to them and we listen to the words they speak, don't we? And try to pick up on what they're telling us. If as a speaker you want to people in the audience to visualize something, you have to use words in order to describe what you want them to visualize. And God wants us to understand who He is. So He's given us not only His written Word, but His incarnate Word. And I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the expression of who God is. He communicates to us who God is. I want you to hold your place here in the Gospel of John and turn with me for a moment to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. I want us to look at the first three verses here, where it actually tells us that Jesus is the express image of God. Hebrews 1, verse number 1, God, who at sundry times, in the diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Keep that in mind. Jesus, God, the Holy Trinity, the Son was the vehicle to make the worlds. When it says, in the beginning, God created. Verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Wow. Remember when Jesus met with His disciples in John 14, verse 8 and 9, and Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now listen, we know about God because He's revealed to us through this one called the Word here in John's Gospel chapter number 1. He's none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want to consider several things this morning. First, let's consider His preexistence, verse 1 and 2. Two things here. Verse number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. Talking about the Word was in the beginning with God. You know, if we're going to worship someone, Don't you agree that somewhat should be far superior to us? You know, I'm not into man worship, not into worshiping animals. I'm not into worshiping anything except someone who is greater than me, and that's God. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ because He is God. There's a specific time that we all started living. At conception, we became alive in our mother's womb. I don't care what the pro-abortionists have to say about it. Life begins at conception. And that's when we had our beginning. That's why I tell folks, I say, you know, I started going to church 9 months before I was born. Because as soon as I was conceived, I was a person. And I was there in my mother's womb for those 9 months. At conception, we became alive. For Jesus, there was no such starting time. Jesus was very much alive before He was ever conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of His mother Mary. The Lord Jesus Christ, we know, is eternal. He has always existed. He's far superior to us, and He's worthy of our worship. Worthy is the Lamb, as the way it's put in the book of Revelation. In fact, the first 10 chapters of the book of Hebrews is an interesting study. It points out Christ's superiority in so many different areas. In chapter number 1, it talks about Him being better than the prophets and being better than the angels. And in chapter number 3, He's better than Moses. In chapter number 4, He's better than Joshua. His priesthood is better than Aaron's in chapter number 4 also, all the way to chapter 7, verse 28. His ministry is better than Aaron's ministry in Hebrews 8. His offering is superior to all of those Old Testament blood offerings that were given. All the animals that were slaughtered, you could add them all together, and His death was greater. His person was greater than all of that. His offering was superior. John 1:1 here, in the beginning was the Word. This beginning goes back before creation into eternity past. The Word was here means that He was continuing. He was continuing. There never was a time when Jesus did not exist. He existed before time began. I know it's hard for us to understand that because we're creatures of time. God is a creature of eternity. He is of eternity, not time. Micah 5, verse number 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah," speaking of the town where Jesus was born, says, "Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Jesus was from everlasting. Colossians 1, verse number 17 says that He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And Jesus Himself said in Revelation 22, and verse number 13, He said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So we see His preexistence. Next, I want us to consider His presence. John 1:1 there says, "And the Word was with God." The Word was with God. And verse 2 says, "The same was in the beginning with God." Jesus was with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in eternity past in heaven. You can't separate the Trinity. You just really can't. I mean, they were to get their three in one. So explain that to us, preacher. Explain the Trinity to us. I can't explain that. I just am awed by it. I don't know about you, but it is an awesome thing. For there to be three, but they're really one. Expressed in three persons. He was present. Jesus was. The idea here is also that He was on the same level with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. who's superior in that three? Well, God's superior. And God is made up of the three. Amen. So He was on the same level. One God expressed in three persons. If I were ushered into the presence of God the Father, I'd be on my face. I would not be on the same level as He is, and neither would any of us. But Jesus, on the other hand, was able and is able to look at God the Father face to face because He's on the same level as God the Father. I want you to think of this. The very Son of God was on equal level with God the Father. He could look God the Father in the eye, so to speak. And he left his position of power and importance to be born of a virgin and go to the cross to die for our sins. You think about the love involved in that. And he had it all. He had it all before he came. He didn't come out of a need for him to gain anything, but for him to give something and to give his love for us. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 9 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." So we see his preexistence. We see his presence. Next, let's consider his position. There in verse number 1, John 1, 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And here it is. Here's his position. The Word was God. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses deny the deity of Christ, as do others. And so, you know, I know that especially the Jehovah's Witnesses deny it, and they have changed in their Bible, their so-called Bible, that phrase to say, "And the Word was a God." Not "the Word was God," but "the Word was a God." And that just isn't so. This verse is stating that Jesus is indeed very God. He is very God. In fact, Isaiah 9, verse number 6, which we quote a lot during the Christmas time, talks about this child that would be born, and he's called there, his name, one of the names, he would be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You might have heard someone say that Jesus never claimed to be God. There are those that make that claim, but look at with me, please, at John chapter number 8. You're not too far away from it, just a few pages over. John's Gospel, chapter number 8. And look at two verses here. Several verses. 56 through 59 here. Verse 56. He's speaking to some Jews here. And he tells them here in John 8, 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." In other words, Abraham was looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? He says, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." How did he see it? He saw it by faith. Amen? That's how he saw it. 57 says, "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." What a strange statement. Before Abraham was, I am. And it says there that they took up stones to cast at him. Why were they casting stones, wanting to cast stones at the Lord Jesus Christ? It was because of what he said. These Jews understood that Jesus was claiming to be the I Am, or Jehovah, the pre-existent God that revealed himself to Moses in Exodus chapter number 3, verse 13 and 14. He is the I Am of there. Josh McDowell, an author of many books, including the book that More Than Just a Carpenter, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was more than just a carpenter. He said there's only three possibilities as to the identity of Jesus. He said, first of all, if you don't believe, if you can't take his claims that he was God, then you've got to come to the fact that he was, number one, a liar. Okay? Because he claimed to be God. And if he claimed to be God and he's not God, that would make him a liar. Or he would be a lunatic. He could be a lunatic. He was a madman, insane, or disillusioned. He thought he was God. Maybe he didn't, you know, he maybe had this vision that he as some people have, that I'm God. There's people today who are crazy who want to tell you that they're God. So Jesus was either a liar or he was a lunatic. And the other possibility is, if he's not one of those, then that means he's Lord. Okay? He's Lord. He is who he claimed to be, God in the flesh. You can't say that Jesus was a good man who walked the earth and did many great and good things. He was a good man, but he's not God. You can't say that. Because he's either a lunatic or he's a liar if he's not God. But he is God. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Be careful how you address him. He is to be your Lord. And that's not just a name. That means you look to him, that he's got the right to call the shots in your life. He's my Lord. Don't joke about him. Be careful that you not take his name in vain and use it as a cuss word. I hear people all the time using the name of Jesus in a very flippant manner. And his name is holy. We sang holy, holy, holy earlier. He's holy is the God the Father, holy is God the Son, and holy is God the Holy Spirit. Be careful how you use Jesus' name. So we've seen his preexistence, his presence, and his position. Now let's consider his power. That's found there in verse 3. It says, all things, back in our text, John 1, verse number 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that confirms what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 16 to 17. Listen to what he said. He's for by him, speaking of Jesus, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, by Jesus, and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We read earlier, and there in Hebrews 1 and verse number 2, how that it was him by whom also he made the worlds. God the Father created the universe through his word, the one who is his Son. So Jesus was the instrument of creation. We really can't fathom how large the universe is. I know scientists want us to think that at times they have gotten to the end of what the known universe, and then they develop a larger, powerful telescope that goes a little bit farther out and sees that they don't know the half of it. That it's much bigger than we really know. A heaven full of planets and stars and other things. And the Lord Jesus created all of that, plus all the flowers and the plants and animals and insects, large and small. When you talk about the large things of the universe all the way down to the tiny things in the universe, he created it all. We've already seen that Jesus is God. And that's why Jesus has all the power. Amen? And then I want you to see that, let's consider his provision. In verse number 4 and verse number 5, back in our text, it says there in verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Listen, before Jesus came, he had two qualities mentioned here that he shared with man. And this is his provision for us. First provision, Christ has provided us life. Remember in the Garden of Eden when man was first formed, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We live because of God, because of Jesus. In him was life. Christ has provided us life. Three aspects of life that Jesus gave to man. First of all, physical life, because he is creator, he's given you and every other individual life, according to Genesis 2:7. But not only physical life, he gives eternal life. Jesus came to earth with eternal life. But he didn't only come with eternal life, he came to give eternal life. Look at John chapter number 3, John chapter 3. And look at verse number 14. John 3, 14. It says here, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Let's pause there for just a second. This is talking about a story that happened in Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 9. Remember, there were fiery serpents that the Lord sent among His people to bite them because they had sinned grievously against Him. And when they got bit by the fiery serpents, they began dying. But the Lord provided a remedy, a bronze serpent erected on a pole. If they would look to the bronze serpent, they would live. And this is the picture. He says, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How marvelous a thing that God would send His Son so that we could have eternal life through Him. And then a third type of life that Christ provides is abundant life. In John chapter number 10, in verse number 10, He says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus not only came to give us eternal life, but He came to give us His abundant life right now. We can have His abundant life. Our lives before coming to Christ were marked with failure, but our lives after coming to Christ can be and should be marked with victory. They ought to be. Because Christ has come, we have abundant life in several ways. First of all, we have the abundance of Christ's presence in our life. He said in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." He's never going to leave us or forsake us. We've got His presence. What a blessing. Amen. The abundance of Christ's presence. In John 15, verse number 4 and 5, He says, "Abide in Me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing." So that abundant life comes from our dwelling, abiding in Him, and Him in us. We not only have the abundance of Christ's presence, we have the abundance of Christ's peace. In John 14, verse 27, He told His disciples, He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then we have the abundance of Christ's provision. In Philippians 4:19, Paul told the Philippian Christians, he said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I'm thankful as to how the Lord provides for our need. I couldn't tell you the number of times when I had a need, didn't share with anybody, but the Lord provided. Yeah. The Lord provided. Even this week, the Lord's provided. We have the abundance, not only of Christ's provision, but we have the abundance of Christ's power. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." If you want to do something for the Lord gives you His abundant power. John 14, verse 13 and 14. "Whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it." So Christ has provided us His abundance. He's provided us life. And then I want you to see that Christ, last of all, has provided us light. Not only life, but light. John 1, 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." When His life comes to light, Jesus is God, and God is light. Amen? Jesus is God, and God is light. 1 John 1, 5 says, "This then is the message we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now we know that this old world is entrenched in the darkness of sin. Jesus came into the world to give it light. He came to point people to the God of light. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And because we walk in Jesus, we could say that our life has been lit up. Amen. He's lit up our life. John tells us in John 1, 5 here, he says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. See, the light came to this world. He shined in the darkness, but by and large, the world did not comprehend, and they do not comprehend or understand him. That's why we must share the gospel. God's Holy Spirit quickens the heart. He takes and shares the truth of who Jesus is. So this morning we've seen, who is Jesus Christ? We've seen his preexistence, his presence, his position, his power, and his provision. Do you have his eternal life? I know you've got his physical life because you're living and breathing. None of us are dead here this morning, physically speaking. But do you have his eternal life? He's both the life and light that is needed for the darkness that sin has caused in your soul. Don't let Satan keep you trapped in your sin because you can't comprehend God. Come to him for your eternal salvation today if you've not done that previously. If you do that, he will turn on the light in your soul and give you the life that you need. If you're a child of God, I wonder, have you received his provision for you of the abundant life that he's promised? He's come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you enjoying his abundant provision there? His presence, his peace, his provision, and his power? If not, begin living the abundant life. Don't just be satisfied with just eternal life. Begin now to access the life that you have in Christ. Let's pray. Father,